And now,
it's time for
Inside Conan, an important Hollywood podcast.
Welcome to Inside Conan. It's great to be back.
It is.
Hi, Jesse.
Hi, Mike Sweeney.
How are you?
I'm good. Good to see you. I've been seeing you all the time.
I saw you all day.
I saw you all yesterday.
Yep.
And the day before that. But we have been especially spending a lot of time together because
we've been editing the Australia show.
Yes.
Which aired this week. And it's online now. It's on teamcoco.com/Australia.
Yeah.
So we thought it'd be natural to talk about that show.
Yeah. We both went there.
Yep.
We've gone on all those travel shows.
All the travel shows.
This one was fun. This was a real whirlwind because we did a lot in a short amount of time.
And yes. They're all like that.
We all got sick.
Everyone got sick. Conan got sick. He led the way by getting sick when the day we landed, really, he started not feeling well.
Yeah.
But he's a trooper. He is a real trooper. And
when he's medicated.
Yes.
And he's actually funnier.
Yeah.
That's not true.
No. Blasphemy.
But we are going to talk to today our wonderful field producer, Jason Chalemi.
Jason Chills Chalemi.
Yes. And he goes on all these travel shows.
Yes. And he oversees the production from starting a month before we even go, just dealing with 8 billion
all
details.
All the logistics.
Yes. And while we're there as well. And he makes the travel shows happen.
And he's been with the show for a long time. He's always done these remotes and field pieces starting back at late night. And he did all the, Triumph remotes and stuff around New York City.
So he has seen a lot.
He's seen a lot of
behind
shit.
The scenes stuff.
Yeah.
That has happened. So we're excited to talk to him. He's our good friend.
And then we're also going to talk to Jordan Schlansky.
We're bringing Jordan back.
By popular demand.
Yes. And we're going to try to focus him on the Australia show. But
you can't control Jordan.
No, there's no control.
He'll talk about what he wants to talk about.
Exactly.
But first, let's talk to Jason.
Here's Jason. We're here with Jason Chalemi.
Hey,
guys.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good.
We're so excited to have you here.
I'm excited to be here.
What is your official title? I don't even know.
I don't think I know either.
I just think of you as Chills,
Jason Chills.
Yes.
Producer.
Yeah.
But you're specifically a field producer.
Correct. Right. For the actual show, I'm a field producer.
Right.
Though when I got hired way back in 97, I was hired as a PA. My job has not changed at all.
Okay.
I literally have been doing the same exact thing from 97 on.
Right.
Just titles.
Do you get paid more?
Yes.
Okay, good.
It's been more money.
Because you started, was this your first ever job?
It was.
Any kind of job?
No, I worked at
swimming
tennis clubs.
Right.
Yeah, I was.
Really?
Delivered newspapers, mowed lawns.
Oh.
But your first
out of college
Hollywood job.
Oh, yeah. But I didn't know I wanted to do this.
Yeah.
How
did you get here?
Someone knew the person hiring interns, Chris DeLuca.
Right. I remember him.
And I got the internship. And I was done with college already, so I just stayed.
Yeah.
Like, there was no one kicking me out. It was a different times. It was like,
I just keep hanging out.
I wasn't getting credit.
I was just,
yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's changed that much.
And then I got hired a year later. And
As a PA,
but doing remote, like being in charge of field pieces.
Oh, so you had a lot of responsibilities.
Right away.
Right away. You were large and in charge right away.
Yeah. And then, so I've been here like 22 years working. It'll be 22 years in December working.
Wow.
23 as an intern.
Wow. Well, we want
most of your life.
We want to talk to you tonight.
At least half of it. Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Wow. We want to talk to you today because we're talking about the Australia show.
Yes.
Yeah, the Australia travel show.
And you're the man on every single travel show we've done.
Well, it's a team effort. But
it's a total team effort.
Okay, that's what you have to say.
No, we've got to be
there. Yeah, sure. Yeah. But
no, you're the guy that makes everything happen.
Thank you.
And you make all the initial forays. Like if we're interested in a country.
I dig. I find out how we get there. And
yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you see what the permits.
How
and
easy
the
it is. And
visas.
What
how many shots we need.
Yeah.
In which arm.
Exactly.
Or is it in liquid form? And also my favorite thing is you find the fixer.
Yes.
Yes.
That's become my favorite thing also. It's such a, I know we've done like 10 now where I've needed to find, we've done 11, but 10 where I've needed to find a fixer.
Right.
Because Cutter didn't, it was, we didn't really.
And a fixer is, it's the local producer.
Yes, because we don't know.
We don't know the country.
We don't know the country. We don't know how permitting happens, how scouting, you know, stuff like that. So we need local help.
And they, a lot of times they have great suggestions.
Yes.
You know, about, or we'll say, hey, we want to talk to, you know, this person, and they go, oh, they'll steer us to a better choice.
Yeah, no, it's been great.
And who are these people? Do they usually work for shows like Amazing Race and that sort of thing? Sometimes.
I mean, like this last one in Australia did a lot of shark. You know, it's in Australia, so she did a lot of sharks, like Natural Geographic stuff.
It's a natural segue. Natural segue to work with us.
Well, exactly. But I feel like we've been really lucky. Like we've been...
Yes. Yeah.
Every last one we've done has been my favorite.
We always say, exactly.
No, I feel you have great instincts because we'll talk to you and you'll be like, I've talked to three people and I'm really, I like Tina, you know. You'll have a front runner and you do have to go with your gut a little bit.
Yeah, because I'm not seeing them. I don't know. You know, it's just basically a quick phone conversation.
And then we talk to them a few times on the phone, but then we're spending 24 hours with them.
And we're like meeting them for the first time when we land.
Yes. So it's a little bit of a...
Yeah, they pick us up from the airport.
Yeah. It's a roll of the dice.
It's
always worked out. They've been great.
You get a feel, like I send them some shows and they get a feel of what we're doing and it helps. And
then...
I feel like we broke one person. Usually they roll with it really well because we're a hard group. I will say that.
Right.
We're certainly different.
Production wise.
Yes, we are. We're way different than everyone else.
We're very low maintenance, but we also like we change our minds very
well, we make it up
fast.
Well, we'll be on the way somewhere. Like we'll be there at 10 a.m. and then we'll see something amazing on the side of the road.
It's like, and we're like pull over. Yeah.
And we jump out.
Yeah.
And we try to arrange it so we have a camera guy in the van with us, so they can literally run out and start shooting right away.
Sometimes the camera guy's hanging out of the back of a van.
It's true.
Shooting B-roll.
Oh, it's true.
Yeah.
It's very true.
Yeah, I think we're way different, and people are stunned at first, but they end up loving us.
They end up having fun.
It ends up being like one of the funnest things they've ever done.
And then
so
you
they
have
said.
The...
Right, exactly.
That's what they said. They wouldn't make it up.
Well, you're a good bridge because you... are sort of required to both hang out with Conan and Jeff and you know, like the executive producer types. And then
the second floor versus the second.
Yes, exactly. And then you also hang out with the crew and often the PAs they'll go out and you guys go out till four or five in the morning.
Yeah, the wee hours. Yeah.
We have to get up at six.
Wake up early and...
Was that happening in Australia?
It wasn't that much.
Not that much.
I think the jet, you know, flying there took a lot out of people. Like, I mean, I was wiped. I mean, we went right into it that day.
Conan got sick.
He was literally sick the second we landed.
Right.
And then I remember you had to kind of take care of him.
Yeah, we had to get him meds.
Yes.
Australian meds.
You were nursing him all week.
I was.
We'd be like, where's Chalemi? The drugstore.
He's making soup.
But it makes me laugh because I'll often look over at you and you're holding a lot of stuff for people. We do this thing.
We're very bare bones. Like we don't have prop guys. We don't have wardrobe. We don't have makeup and hair. I mean, we have makeup, but local. So we're all, I mean, it's not just me. Like someone's holding a cue card. I'm holding a lot, but you're usually holding
the heavy stuff.
Yes. Yeah. And I feel bad because we were in Italy and there was this store that had Pinocchio. Wooden Pinocchios
you can kneel in. Yeah.
And we were just like, you know, it's one
just
of those.
Just in case.
Things where you're like, oh my God, this is so funny. We've got to do it in every, you know, if we did this in another town, it'd be hilarious.
But we never did, right?
And so you were dragging that
on a train,
everywhere.
But we never used it again.
Never used it again. And now
we have it.
It's in the hallway.
Yeah.
When you are constantly dragging cardboard cutouts of Jordan Schlansky everywhere too. You'll have one under your arm.
Right.
And then we often don't use those either.
Yeah.
We'll have to ask him we should tell him about this woman who bought a cardboard cutout of him during that live show in Sydney.
Yeah.
And
the drunk woman.
The drunk woman.
Yes. Yeah.
She was drunk.
She tried to get amorous with the cutout.
With the cutout.
In front of
on stage.
3,000 people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
literally a foot away from Conan, she's like making out with a cardboard cutout.
She couldn't believe how lifelike Jordan was acting. Right. So she took advantage.
Yeah, right. So the, I mean, what, do you like doing this? What's
wrong with you?
Yeah.
I don't like carrying around heavy things, but I like the idea of.
You like being on these trips.
Yeah. And I like the idea of it. Like, you know, if it is needed, it's ready to go. You know, I don't want to be, but there's times also like, where's the, you know, this, and I'm like, shit, you know, like, and I'm just running back to event. Like I'm not always on my game. We do the best we can.
You're pretty, you pretty much have.
We had the octopus. We had the octopus in my living
room. Oh, that's right.
That was your big. And you
in Korea.
In South Korea, we bought an octopus at
day
the
one or day
fish
two?
Market. Yeah. It was like
pretty early.
Octopi being sold to eat.
Right.
And, but they were alive.
Conan saved it.
And so Conan bought one.
As
and then,
a pet.
You know, but it's always like he's a little kid and he just turns around and hands it to you because you're his mom.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then now you're holding
the
octopus.
There's all these rules and it has to be cold. And so we had.
Yeah, and we brought the octopus back to the U.S.
And it lived in a cooler.
In salt water. I mean, come on, octopus.
We eventually gave it to professionals, but for like two nights it was living in
And
I had to wake up every like 3 hours and like add ice and.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah,
it was
right.
Like a young. You had.
I was tending to a.
You had a newborn.
A newborn. Yeah.
But it was, and you bonded. You bonded.
I did.
Him.
I did. And then since I had a couple octopi here, all to no avail.
Oh, right.
They all ended poorly.
No.
Yeah.
It's so hard to have it.
To keep an octopus.
Temperature is salt. It's just. It's hard.
Yeah.
I've loved them all.
Do you still? You have other sea life though.
I have some fish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Octopi don't have a long. They were saying
they don't
the
lie,
ones
they
over
don't.
There only live a year.
Yeah.
Or so
yeah,
you
did
know.
Yours make it that
tell
long?
Yourself that
no,
no.
The longest was like 3 months.
Okay,
but when they're when he's happy and swimming around, it was great.
Oh,
wait, what was the name? Sammy.
Sammy. Samuel.
Samuel. Yeah. Samuel.
Mm-hmm.
And then we donated him
to an aquarium.
To an aquarium, and they made like a whole exhibit out of it, like Conan's octopus,
right.
Samuel.
Right.
And they sent us a picture of it, but we don't know for sure that.
Well, then
they
he eventually came here. Didn't he come back like a year?
Right, oh, right, right. He came here in quotes, as you just said.
Yeah, they don't see the.
Yeah, they bought it in Santa Monica.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that exhibit in the aquarium lasted 3 months as well.
Right.
And then it was bye-bye, Samuel.
Yeah.
Very sad. Yeah, you should. We should get it. You should get a pet on every travel show.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. No pets on this one. That was the only
one. The wombat?
One.
I could have taken the wombat
or something.
You could have
taken the wombat.
Oh, right.
Tonka?
Tonka the wombat.
Yeah. What else happened on this trip?
It was kind of...
It was low key.
It wasn't.
It felt like we did a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. We were pretty efficient.
Yeah, we were good in this one.
Yes.
You know, we did the football one day. We did...
We had great
there were a couple
PAs.
Of bad days. He did that show in the middle, so kind of broke things up.
The live
we had a great
stand-up
team.
Show.
We had a great... Our whole Australian team was amazing.
Yeah, they were all
everybody.
Great. Everyone was great.
All women, right?
All women.
Yeah.
We had a couple of male drivers.
Except for the bodyguard.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's...
Oh, yeah. Am I allowed to talk about the bodyguard?
Sure.
Like, it's funny because we'll get security in foreign countries, but it's not really necessary.
No. I'm trying to think. Has there ever been a point where we felt like we needed... I mean, I guess...
No.
Well, yeah, never.
Conan loves fans and crowds, so it's not like he's ever like...
Korea,
get
we
me out of
Korea,
here.
We kind of need... Not in a bad way, but Korea was like... When
it was,
the airport,
it was helpful to
right.
just
like,
keep
like,
things moving.
People
yeah.
were like dragged out like and thrown into van. Like, it was like...
Right.
It was...
The airport
so
was
many
insane.
People.
Yeah. And then any time we're on the street, he'd immediately...
Get mocked by fans.
A big crowd.
Yeah.
But in some countries, it's like in Armenia, we just had it. We had a police escort everywhere we went.
We did.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
We'd still be there if we didn't have that police escort.
Agreed.
The traffic was so
crazy.
But
it did feel a little silly that we would have there was a police car with the siren on.
Siren, yes.
Full
speaker,
siren, speeding.
Yes. Literally.
And it would be taking us to like a dance lesson that we were doing. It's not an emergency.
The opposite.
I thought about how
no
mad
traffic,
I would be.
Like, exactly.
Yeah.
Hopefully no one in Armenia saw the show or they'd be like, that bastard. Well, there was, nothing went haywire really in Australia, but in Japan, we were flying to Conan Town.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And we land.
There was a big logistical snafu.
There's a slight snafu.
I blame myself.
Yeah. We land there, and then our fixer there quietly comes up, literally very sotto voce, just goes, we landed at the wrong airport. Just,
yeah.
We're like, he was very calm.
Yeah.
He was very calm about it.
Well, at that point, what can you do? There were two airports. It was, what was the name of the town again? I know it was Conan Town, but what was it? It was I know.
Hokue?
Okay.
And there were literally Hokue. Two airports, like within
equidistant. Yes. Each an hour away.
And
and so.
And there were people waiting, a crowd of fans that were waiting for us at one airport.
The other one. Yeah.
The one we were supposed to
land. And when I booked the travel, I didn't think there was a second.
So no, why would you?
I was like, yes, let's immediately none of us.
It's like if there was a
none of us checked.
Yeah. Airport in Burbank and then also an airport in Glendale.
Exactly. Like, right, two in Burbank. yeah, that was no way to know, but no. But it ended up being you guys made it work, and at the it was all
it was exciting. We had to take a bus to a bus stop,
bus train
depot.
Station.
We took taxi cabs for an hour. Well, now we're literally meeting tomorrow to talk about the
ponder
next
what's
one.
What's next? Yeah.
Yeah.
What are your feelings on it? Where do you want
to
go?
I like to go somewhere there's continents we haven't gone to.
There are whole continents.
Whole continents. So I'd like to mix it up.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to see what works, what our everybody's schedules. And
yeah.
Time frame.
You've already probably started putting out feelers for it. I bet there's a lot of people who get your ear and are like, hey, chills.
Right.
Look into this.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
Yeah.
But it's also like a lot of countries are like inviting us to come. Like,
yeah.
It's we've gotten people love what's been going on and they want us to come to their country, which is cool.
We should ask for the highest bidder and then
that's
decide.
Right.
I love that idea.
That's very democratic.
And whoever gives us the $20 will go there.
Yeah. I mean, there's not really a scientific process.
There really is not.
It is.
We just try.
It's
we
pretty
try to
random.
Do, yeah, we try to do three a year, and that's basically what it is.
I mean, and it has been as basic as this person invited us, mm-hmm. a fan invited us,
mm-hmm.
Or it's somewhere that Jeff wants to go.
Right. Exactly. anyone have a problem with it? No, we'll go. Do you have a favorite show of all the shows we've done?
I think I like Cuba. I mean, Cuba was just—it's just the first, and this thing
about—it was magical. Right. Yeah.
I really, really love them all. I mean, it's—they're mm-hmm. all so different.
Right.
But the first one was good. Me and Michael went to Finland way back
in
2006.
Yeah. That was it.
Yeah.
With the other writers were Andrew Weinberg and Michael Komen.
Correct.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That was
an army went on that one, by the way. Like, right now these trips we do like 11, 12 people.
Yeah.
There was like almost 20 of us who went on that one.
It was over.
And that was just for one segment?
No, it was a whole show.
Oh, it was a whole show.
That was NBC. They had money to burn.
It was way different.
Take 20 people over there. Yeah, that was crazy.
I would not have had to hold props on that one. I would have, other people could have done it.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen that change a lot? I mean, because is that even something you have to consider? Like, are you the budget guy that has
care about money at all. Like, I would say yes to everything. But there are other people who care. And I just...
Yeah.
None of us care. Yeah,
none of us.
I don't care.
Yeah.
So I have to run it by people, but...
I would hate to have to worry about money. Oh, that's a drag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The budget for these shows.
Of course. That's
we need three elephants.
Some have been really like Korea was a little bit more because we did this big music video.
Right. We did a K-pop video.
Yeah. But then
that we spent all day shooting a
15 hours.
Yeah. And it was a long
madness.
That was a lot of money.
I think, but just the one that made me laugh the hardest while we were there, I think, was Berlin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just because. Well, there was the dancing segment, which is still one of my favorite
segments. Yeah, when we brought Andy in for that.
Yeah. And that was hilarious. And then Conan going to the dominatrix.
Yes.
Which was one of the most asexual experiences I've ever had.
Yeah, it was so fun. And that was I'm there and we don't have lighting people. Like, I'm holding a light leaning against I'm banging against like this mirrored ceiling.
Right.
She's like pinching his nipple. It was just such a weird.
Yeah, we were all packed into this
sweaty,
dungeon.
It was hot. It was just.
Also, we were on different wavelengths the whole time. Well, she was ready to
do everything.
Treat him as a real client.
Oh, she wanted to make him
and
pop.
And Robert Kraft him.
Yeah. Yes.
Just
our main problem, we didn't have a real safe word from Conan. We needed we needed something where he was, because he kept joking, I don't even know if he was joking, like, all right, that's good.
Right.
We didn't know if he was being serious or not.
We didn't know if he was really hurting her or if he was playing it
You mean
for
if
laughs.
She was hurting him.
Oh, if she
yeah,
was,
yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Because usually when we start these, we'll go to the person and say, treat this like he's a real client. Yeah, yeah. Or, you know, we want this to be a real experience, that like you're doing your job
right.
normally. But then what we didn't factor in was that if it's a dominatrix, what her job is. And there are people who probably tell her to stop, and she's not supposed to stop.
Exactly.
It's part of the game.
Part of the game. Exactly.
Yes.
She literally would have done everything to him in front of us.
She would. Yes. Absolutely.
There was no question.
Oh, yeah.
No problem.
There was a point. I was like, we're going to see his penis. Like, that was.
He was getting close.
Have you ever seen it?
No.
No?
No.
You had to think about it for a second.
Well, I'm trying to. I mean, okay. I've been here 23 years. Yeah, I don't.
I'm surprised you haven't seen it.
Yeah. I've seen him in Dance Belts.
You're not going to ask me.
Sweeney, have you seen it?
No.
Oh. So no one can confirm if Conan has a penis.
No one in this room.
No, I cannot confirm it.
Interesting.
I mean, we've been close.
I feel like you guys would have gone into a steam room or something at some point. No
steam.
No. Steven Yeun, that was the closest. Yeah. But even then, he was fully
covered.
He's just, he had like one of those
dance belt.
Yeah.
But there's
how demure.
There's a whole nother dominatrix remote that no one's seen yet that we edited.
That's right.
And Conan was just like, you know what?
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Do I know this?
There were so many other funny things.
Oh, yeah.
That happened there.
Oh, sure.
We put it together, and I think Conan was just like, no.
He like was worried about his family seeing it, I think. And it was risque. So
yeah.
We could.
All of being there, it did.
It didn't really feel sexual. Oh, God. No, you're right.
No, it was not sexual. No.
No, no, no. It seemed like you're in a war.
It was more
battle.
Like being at the dentist.
Yes.
But the dentist is like really hurting
torture,
somebody.
Yeah. And barely dressed.
Can you remember like some of the early remotes you did? If
yes,
anything
he can.
Stands out to you?
I have a couple.
Were there any real disasters?
No. One of my first abroad international trips was with Michael. We went to Ireland when Conan was looking for
his family.
Ancestors.
Before 23andMe existed.
Right.
Yes.
At this time, it was the simplest way to do it.
Very old school.
Yeah.
And we were there only 2 days.
We like our weekend. We literally flew for a weekend.
And just shot around the clock.
Nonstop.
And no one in Ireland knew who he was at the time. But they were, and a lot of them were soused out of their minds.
Yeah.
And
it literally
he'd start joking with them, and they were just like, oh, another jokester. And they were just kind of running circles. They were
running
hilarious.
Bits with him?
Yeah.
That's funny.
They really were.
Without giving it a second thought.
Just that's his heritage.
Yeah.
Those are his heritage.
And that was just a long remote, right? That was just like
it was a remote. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. That's amazing. But you guys did that back in the day. I mean, like that was the only one I really, I guess I did India with Blitz, but you guys used you guys used to travel. You used to travel a lot and just do like, here's a 10-minute remote, in Amsterdam or something. You know,
right?
You used to do that.
Right. How crazy was going to India with Andy Blitz?
It was crazy. It was
who was writer on Late Night?
Yeah, the idea is very
and a guest was, on Inside Conan.
That's right.
Oh, yes, great guest. I heard that one. Well, the idea was simple. It was just literally him. He wanted to get his computer fixed instead of calling IT, which was NBC's IT was based in India.
Right.
So he would physically brought his monitor and, you know, desktop with him. So he was it's just shots of him walking around India holding monitor in one arm, computer in the other one, just walking
looking
around.
Looking for IT help.
Yeah, just getting to the NBC IT department. Uh-huh. So it was just, we were in the city of Hyderabad, which is where they were. And it was just shots of him walking around crowded streets and on an elephant and doing stuff like Bollywood. He's playing cricket.
He used the monitor
like as a backstop and playing cricket. Yeah. You know, it was just, and eventually
that
he made it
fun.
There.
So it was just the two of you and the camera crew? Or
there was a writer.
And a writer, Dan Gore.
Dan Gore went.
Right. Who had been to India before. He was, right? I believe, Yes.
And it was fun. We were there for like 5 days.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if you're going to fly that far, you might as well.
Yeah.
Well, India's been kind of at the top of our list for a little while.
Yes.
And you had to deal with, you actually coordinated
didn't we hear that it was, this is kind of the reason why our process last, we tried to go to India and this like held us up a little bit. And it was like, they found out I wasn't in charge of getting us there last time. But that may have
nicely handled.
We didn't do it the proper way.
Yeah.
So I think that was.
Or was it that they watched the remote?
Right.
And
maybe
like,
that was.
We don't.
Yeah.
That could, want it could have been a combination one of both. These. Could have been a combination of both.
Yeah.
And then you and I also did a Triumph Insult Comic Dog yes. remote. Triumph tours the LA Hollywood stars' homes.
Yes.
Because we were in LA for
it was the
week.
First travel week we ever did. It was like in 99.
Right.
Triumph had done some Westminster remotes.
Mm-hmm. Right. He got kicked out.
Thrown out, yeah.
He had done two at that point, yeah. I think. And so this was the next logical advance. And we went up into the...
we rented a bus.
Mm-hmm, like one of those star tours.
Double-decker, yeah.
Real fans on it.
We literally mm-hmm. asked real people to do this, had them sign releases.
And then we hijacked them for like yeah. 7 hours.
Oh my God.
It was... Oh no. People were crying. Oh bus drivers were crying. We were driving up there. I mean, it was
a big
bus.
We went up to Bel Air.
Bus yeah. drivers and were crying.
Branches were low. Weren't branches like people getting hit?
We had to tell everyone, we're like, incoming, and people would duck.
Because
branches were
if they didn't duck, they would like... Be decapitated.
Yeah.
And we went outside. We stopped outside Barbara Streisand's house and he was yelling through and neighbors came out.
Yeah. No, it was
to protect her. They were like, get out. They started calling the cops.
Yeah. No, it was
the cops came. We got a police escort. And then that night we were like, well, at least we got all this great stuff right. and we're editing it. And
oh, no.
The we hired a local cameraman. All the footage was really dark and we were like, we may not be able to use it.
Right.
So we had to, after this day that was hellish,
yeah.
hellish, it was like, well, we have to go back tomorrow and recreate all of it.
What?
And so I was like, well, why don't we shoot in the flats, the Beverly Hills flats?
Yeah.
No one will know where we are. And you know, Robert's just like, no, we got to go back up into Bel Air. And I'm like,
what?
There's already cops.
Yeah, they already
a cordon of cops just on the chance we'd
yeah.
return.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's like, no, man, we got to go. So we were like, okay. So we went.
New bus.
We went back up there.
Was it the same? It wasn't the same people. We got different people.
No, we got different people. Those people are all in the hospital by the end of the day. And we went back up there.
Just
and
listening to this is making me want to quit.
Oh, my God.
Well.
And, but of course, when you try to recreate something,
yeah.
it lacked the of course, spark yeah. of the yeah. first day. And so we ended up.
Using whole the second first day, one?
Using the first one. Figuring out a way to brighten it up mm-hmm. enough where it's like, okay, it's okay. And we didn't use any of the second day.
It's my least favorite thing when something like that happens.
Yeah, that was...
But we ended rough. Up at the Madame Tussauds or Hollywood Wax Museum.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it was the end. And we got there at like, I remember we got there like at 7 p.m. And I was like, this place closes at 9:30. Like, this day is almost done. And yeah. I remember saying to Michael...
Uh-oh.
Robert's from Triumph is he goes hard, he goes long. When it's time to stop, he goes like 3 hours after that. But I was like, this place is closing. Like, we're done. And 9:30, I was like, we're preparing, you know, this is great. And I remember telling you that.
Right.
Dude, we're done in like an hour and a half. It's over.
And I was just like, you're so naive.
Yeah.
You're so new.
And then 2 a.m, you know.
Still at the wax museum?
Still at the wax
museum.
Yeah. Yeah. It was.
So the employees were willing to keep it open?
It was like one manager. Yeah, it was the, it was.
We out the manager.
Did any of that make it
was
in?
The manager was in over his head. Oh, that was all in.
Good.
That was all in.
Good. That makes
it just
happy.
Took a while.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though we were dealing with wax figures.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Still hard to get them to stay in the right way.
Yeah, it's hard to recreate the magic. But that is the worst thing that could possibly happen is to shoot like that and then have it not make it in the show.
It's the worst thing.
Really.
Yeah.
Something else before 99, this is not Triumph related, but one thing I just remembered was when, do you remember we like sent out, the idea was to send out the robot in the toilet in advance because it would take him a while to get there. Like it was like, he can't go on a plane or something. So he was going to, we had a character robot on the toilet.
Of course.
So for our week of shows in 99, we're like, you know, Conan's pitching. It was like a tease almost. It was like a, remember next week, you know, we're live in LA and the guests are this, but just, you know, we're all flying this weekend and we need to send out, you know, the robot in the toilet can't go on the plane, metal detectors and everything.
Right.
So we're sending him out early, like literally like 4 days in advance. So that was like the bumper, whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
Teasing this show is next week. And the whole idea was, it was a Michael Gordon idea, I think. Well, he was the writer. And the idea was that we just needed a shot of the robot toilet getting into the Lincoln Tunnel.
Oh, right. So I remember that
and
shot.
And it wasn't even the Lincoln's. I mean, it was just, that was it. It was just a quick shot. The right. joke was this toilet just in car. Yeah, yeah. leaving. Right. And that was it. You're never going to see anything else. That was yeah. the tease. And it was for, we did shows on Friday then. It literally was like 3 o'clock on a Friday. And very last minute for that show, we taped at 5:30.
Yeah.
And we're down there. No permits. There's no permissions. I mean, we're, and it's not the true Lincoln Tunnel. There was like a small tunnel before the Lincoln Tunnel, like on the west side somewhere where we faked it. Made it seem
yeah,
like
yeah.
Basically, the idea was him going through darkness. And we're walking down there. It's just me, camera guy. Literally, it's traffic. It's rush hour. So there's traffic. Everybody's leaving the city. And we're walking in between cars. Me, a camera guy, audio guy, a man pulling a dolly, a toilet on a dolly.
Yeah.
A wardrobe person carrying a giant square robot costume.
Right.
Yeah. A man in a silver unitard, because he's the robot on the toilet. Yeah, he gets in the robot.
Was it Brian McCann?
It wasn't. It was someone else. Yeah. Okay. And then Michael Gordon. And we walk out there. And we're literally, I mean, people are looking at us. There's no, like, and we have like maybe two shots at this. I'm going to stand out there and I'll stop traffic. Oh. You bring the dolly out. You sit on the toilet. You put the robot costume on. You pull him. That's the plan. Camera guy's in position. We're ready. Let's do it. We go. I'm holding a traffic. Dolly goes out. All right, we're pulling. We're shooting. Lose control of the dolly. The dolly, the robot on the toilet and dolly hits cars in the other lane. Hits it on the side of the other lane. Thankfully, that car, I mean, that car just kept going. Like, he knows he's in traffic. Oh, like, he didn't want to be a part. Yeah. I don't think it was severe. It wasn't severe damage, but your car just got hit with a robot on its own.
It's just a Conan character.
And our guy gets control of it. I was like, oh, it's not, you know, the writer's like, no, we got to do it again.
Yeah. That's so not good enough.
We bring it back. We're about to do it again. All of a sudden, from every angle, cop cars, one, two, people over the bridge, like, what are you guys doing?
Like,
literally, from all sides, coming in on different entrances. Drop everything, hold up everything. Like, they literally stand us in a line. They do all these, you know, he's making all these jokes about, oh, this
is... Get off the toilet slowly.
Just, he asking everybody IDs, and he's just, the guy in the unitard, he's got no pockets.
No.
And he's like, well, you're just going to go in as a John Doe. Like, he's literally is petrifying all of us. Like, this is...
Right.
And that goes on. He plays this whole thing for a while. Like, he's doing an act. And all of a sudden, he's just like, next time, just call up and ask permission. He's like, what do you guys need? He holds traffic. We do it like three times. And now we're getting close to the show. He gives our writer, Michael Gordon, a police escort back to 30 Rock for editing. Literally, our van had a police escort back to 30 Rock.
He was a fan.
Wow.
He just, it was a hard ass. Like, what do you guys, you want to show?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, just like, just next time, just ask.
He's also available for extra work.
And maybe it never aired. If you never saw it, maybe it never aired.
No. That totally aired.
Okay, good. Okay.
I just, until...
But that would have been one that I would have, okay, not airing.
Yeah.
It was fun to have.
Yeah.
Like, the actor in the unitard was petrified.
Yes.
He's like, what's... I'm going to go to jail in a unitard. Like, he was petrified.
You just see the unitard start to fill with pee.
Yeah. Oh, right. Exactly. Boy, there's a toilet there. Y'all.
That's true.
And your cops are very helpful with shooting stuff.
Oh, yeah. It was so different.
Like, we had, Triumph was doing a Wall Street remote, and we had a giant...
Wait, this is Occupy?
Yeah, Occupy Wall Street. And he had a 25-foot-tall inflatable Triumph.
Yeah.
And we wanted to have it hump the Wall Street Bull at the bottom of Broadway.
Yeah.
And it was Sunday morning at 8 a.m.
Yeah.
And we were trying to... Robert and I were trying to talk to the cops and let us do it. And they're like, they kept passing the buck.
Right,
we had to... You were with us, right? Yeah, we had to go up to headquarters and ask for a certain desk sergeant. And he's just like, ugh, okay, just do it in 5 minutes.
Right, exactly.
And two blocks away, they were filming the big climactic...
For Batman? Or
Batman.
Bane.
The Bane fight scene was happening two blocks away on Wall Street. Well, we're
humping
quickly
a bull.
Trying to hump the bull. Anyway, thank you for coming by. This
was
great.
Really fun.
Yeah.
Chills. I look forward to our next travels together. Right.
Yes, me too.
And watch... Australia will have aired at this point.
It will, but people can still watch it.
Over and over again.
It's online.
Thank you to our Australia crew.
TeamCoco.com/Australia.
And our Australia crew. They were awesome. Amy King and Rose Valentine.
Rose
the rest
Valentine.
Of the gang.
Yes.
All great.
They were incredible.
Yeah. It's a good group.
Good day, you guys.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, learned a lot down there.
Thanks, Chills.
Alrighty. Bye.
here's Jordan Schlansky. He just started talking. We hadn't even started recording, but he just started talking.
We had to rush to turn the machinery on because he was off to the races.
And for some reason, it reminded me of a conversation that I had with another former writer from years ago, Dan Gore. I don't remember Dan Gore's. He's gone on to great fame and fortune. You know
Brooklyn
many
Nine-Nine.
Of his credits. Yes.
He created, co-created.
He and I had an interesting conversation on an airplane back from Las Vegas about the feeling of having to urinate. Okay, if you have to urinate very badly, you feel pain and you feel pressure. Okay, the question arose, when you finally urinate, when does the relief of the pain kick in? Does the relief kick in as soon as you start urinating, at the end of the urination process, or at some point in the middle of the urination process? And he came up with an answer that I can't help but to agree with. Mm-hmm. He felt...
How long was the flight?
He felt that the relief from having to urinate badly comes in at a certain percentage of maximum capacity of the bladder. That is to say, if a bladder can hold 4 liters, maybe at 75% of maximum, you feel the relief. So when you're down to 3 liters, you feel the relief.
4 liters? What are you, an elephant? That's a lot of urine. And that stuck with you, that answer.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
A percentage of maximum. Well, because we live it quite frequently. We live that situation frequently, and I find myself testing it time and time again.
Sure.
When does the relief come? It doesn't come. The mental relief comes immediately.
Right.
Because there's a feeling of panic. Am I going to make it? Am I going to make it to a restroom?
Yeah.
Let's say you're driving. Mm-hmm. One of the worst. We've all been in that situation.
Sure.
The mental relief happens right away. I made it. I'm safe. But the physical pain is still there until you've reached a given percentage of maximum. We don't know what the percentage is. No one claims to know what the percentage is. We just understood that it was a percentage of maximum.
How did you read our minds about what we wanted to talk to you about today? When urinating becomes less painful. That's great.
Yeah.
Well, cool. So, Jordan, you've been listening to the podcast.
I have, yeah. I just listened to Andy Richter today. I loved it.
Oh, cool.
Great, yeah.
Yeah,
sure.
I was going to ask if you have any...
I feel like he had a lot to say. He had a lot to get off his chest.
He had a lot to get off his chest.
Unsolicited.
Yes.
Which is, I'm going to guess, a great guest.
I felt like no one had... He's never been able to talk about the show until he showed up here.
He was like ready to burst.
He was ready to go.
He was to capacity of his... emotional bladder.
He actually said he had an intense therapy session that morning, and it was kind of that almost like continued outpouring from that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he didn't experience relief until it was empty.
That's right. So now I heard Jason Chalamet, who was just on the show, told me that you thought we weren't doing a podcast, that we were actually going to shoot a remote.
We were going to spring something on you.
Okay. Well, there were a couple of steps. And if you didn't intend this to come about in a very unusual and questionable way, you sure did a good job unintentionally.
I simply emailed you and said, would you do the podcast?
You told me yesterday that this was a travel show meeting. Okay. A meeting signifies that there will be no recording devices, audiovisual recording devices present. That's what you said yesterday.
I said we were doing a podcast.
You never did. And in fact, today you sent an email saying as much of the same that we wanted to, that am I, can I stick around for a meeting about travel shows?
Huh. Okay? It does sound mysterious.
And I assumed it was a meeting at the same time.
Did he tell
it already
you to come
sounded
camera
fishy.
Ready?
Well, it sounded fishy because you allotted 1 hour for this meeting about travel shows. And that's a lot of time to spend talking about travel shows.
This is madness.
Coupled with the fact that there was a remote shoot in Conan's office after the show that was being set up for all day. What is your email to me today? Now, again...
So did you think that we were going to bring you into Conan's office for the way that we did with Italy, where he sprung... He did actually surprise you with the trip to Italy.
That's the thing.
He sprung that on you. There is some precedent.
We have sprung remotes on you before.
Well, I think there is a general feeling amongst you guys that I do better when I don't have prior knowledge. Yet I feel as if I've proven that wrong time and time again.
Right.
There have been maybe 2 remotes that would have required that I didn't know about them in advance based on the premise. But most of the other ones I certainly could have known about in advance. The Italy trip, of course, I didn't have much notice that we were going, but clearly I got on an airplane. I went through airport security. I knew that the shoot was coming. I don't know if you feel that adversely affected anything.
You know what it was? It was when we were in Dallas and we went shopping for cowboy.
Oh, this
stuff. Oh, I was there.
And yeah, and you started spouting off about the history.
John Stetson coming from Philadelphia.
And I felt like you had done a lot of research.
Had Wikipedia'd it.
Yeah.
And do you want me to give you the same facts now, or do you assume that I've done the same research for this
potential remote?
We've had this discussion. You claim that was all at your fingertips. Yeah.
And then you took us to Heart 8 Barbecue in Stephenville, Texas. And as we rounded the corner and saw the barbecue joint, Conan started singing Kenny Rogers' Lucille.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can't verify that because I don't remember.
I don't remember that either.
Jesse liked the fact that the hat blew off my head when I was walking down the street.
I remember that.
I did. Like, I thought that
it was a nice touch.
Because we did a couple of B-roll shots of you just walking along the freeway, and I liked the one where your hat blew off.
Very artistic.
It was more somber, yeah.
Yes. I remember Andre Dubuchet was there.
Yes.
Now, were Jesse and Andre the only writers besides yourself? Now, I'm trying to remember.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I had just gotten hired. It was a couple months.
Yeah.
And I remember that because I learned a lot about you in the car ride to the location.
Really?
It was, I think it was Mike Sweeney, Jesse, myself, and Conan. I think that was the car that we were in. And Conan was asking you a lot of questions because you were new. Kind of getting to know everyone.
Yeah. Well, that's nice. I don't know what this has to do with you preparing.
Well, yeah, I think so. What Sweeney's saying is that we don't want it to look as though you have... Because people often ask, you know, does Jordan really know all these facts about such a variety of random subjects?
Right.
And we don't want people to think that we've set it up.
Sure.
So that it's fake.
Right. And that's why the element of surprise.
So it's funny. I get this question a lot from people outside of the show, but apparently I'm getting it from someone at the heart of the show.
Yeah.
You felt that the cowboy remote we did was scripted on my part, even though it was not scripted officially.
Well, that was the worry.
Yeah, that was
a worry after the fact. Once it had been shot, you said, "Oh my God, Jordan clearly came up with a script and was reading off the script." Understanding that I didn't even know what was going to happen.
Yeah, I do want to know how Sweeney presented this.
Yeah, so
podcast
do I.
Recording
I know I said
it seems pretty straightforward.
I saw in the kitchen yesterday. I said we're doing the podcast tomorrow.
Yet,
can you drop
you didn't.
By?
No, you said, are you available tomorrow for a meeting about travel shows? And I'm going to say that I don't mind. I am happy to walk in here and say, okay, I guess I'm recording a podcast right now. You told me...
Did you pick that shirt specifically thinking you might be on camera?
I did not. I did not. First of all...
It's a good shirt. I'm just saying. It's a nice shirt.
Thank you for that. It's a James Peirce shirt, 100% cotton.
Yeah. They make really good shirts.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to tell you that when you told me, even 10 minutes ago, come on down, I went down to Conan's office because you didn't specify where down was.
Oh.
And then after I went to Conan's office and saw no one there, I went up to your office and I said, well, I guess he meant up because you're one floor above me. But in fact... You did mean come on down to the podcast studio.
I'm sorry. I'm not listening to any of this. I'm just looking
for the
email. You're just
looking for the email you sent.
It's all emails about the standards rules for bleeping the word fuck, which is something we want to talk to you about. Okay. We agree to disagree. I'm pretty positive I told you, please come by and do our podcast.
Would you like me to find the email? Because you clearly get more emails than the average person to the point where you can't even locate one. So, again, this is now coming on the heels of a conversation yesterday where you clearly said, without any doubt, are you available for a meeting about travel shows? Here we go.
What's it say?
Okay. First of all, you have a habit.
Yeah.
Which I'm not the only one on staff that's annoyed at this habit. I don't know if anyone else has had the guts to tell you before.
Right.
You send an email with the text in the subject line and nothing in the body of the email.
Yes.
Now, I can accept a blank subject line and text in the body of the email.
That's
and of course
big of you.
And of course I can accept a subject line with text and the body with text. But a lot of times I don't read the subject line, and I find that your technique is confusing. Oh. So again, on the heels of a conversation yesterday where you said, are you available for a meeting about travel shows?
Yes.
You sent me an email today.
Yes.
No text in the body, just the classic Sweeney move, subject line filled
I'm
out.
I'm saving you.
Right. You're saving.
I'm saving. You don't have to open the email.
Would you be available?
Because you're a busy guy.
Would you be available to talk travel shows tonight between 5:30 and 6:30?
All right.
I see.
So that's ambiguous enough that given our previous conversation, I had no reason to doubt that this was simply a meeting. And I visualized it because I do visualize my outcome in life. And I had a vision of what would happen today. And I visualized yourself, Jose Arroyo, me and you, possibly Conan, possibly Jeff Ross, in an office. I guess I envisioned Jeff Ross's office, his plush couch. Talking about travel shows.
That's on
now,
your time.
Now I'm sitting here with a pair of headphones and a microphone in front of me. And you know what? It's equally fine for me. I'll talk about travel shows in this setting.
But you're conflating. That email was a follow-up to my verbal invitation to do the podcast.
Well, I don't know if there's security footage that records audio, but the only way clearly to determine who's right here is by looking
I've
at that.
I just wrote the Warner Brothers security where they're looking for the footage.
Well, we're out of time.
No!
Thank you, guys.
Hey, I heard Andy's. And I feel like I'm at least the same stature of Andy.
Sure.
So, yeah. So I expect the same 1 hour and 9 minutes.
That was just a joke. Where in your, you know, in this sort of pre-vision that you had, where did you see us going on our next travel show with you?
Well, you know, I've heard chatter.
Yeah.
Like we say the same language that maybe the Department of Defense uses. We've heard chatter.
Okay.
Okay. And I've heard chatter of places like Iceland.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Iceland is a
is
place
that somewhere
I've
you'd
been.
Like to go?
Well,
You've
it's a place
there.
I've been in 2006, and it is a place I'd like to go again.
Okay.
I'm only speaking in my personal life. And if you asked me on this show, where do I want to go professionally? I can only answer the places I want to go professionally or personally. Do you understand? The answers are the same to me. I pick, if the choice were up to me, I would pick a location that I enjoy in the hopes that my enjoyment might lead to some material that might be viable to use on air.
All right. So where do you want to go?
Well, you know, typically I've always been attracted to Europe. And, you know, I always have the question, do I want to go someplace that I know I like? Or do I want to go someplace that I haven't been just to be able to add another country to my checklist? And I spent a lot of time exploring countries just for the sake of doing something new. And now as I get older, I realize that I'd like going back to places that I know will be comfortable for me and I know will be fulfilling for me. I'd love to go to Iceland. I'd love to go to Iceland with this crew, because again, another difference in traveling with the show, it is free and we eat at some good restaurants, from what I hear from the trips that I haven't been on is that restaurants are almost an afterthought, which to me is a shame because certainly if I'm involved and I have any say in the matter and all else is equal, I may pick a restaurant that we might enjoy. You know, that's what we did in Italy and even in Japan, we had some fantastic.
Yes.
In fact, you, Mike Sweeney, you, Jesse Gaskell, myself, and Conan went to eat sushi one night. And if you remember, I was the tester.
Yeah,
that's right.
I was the tester. So, you know, a lot of sushi in Tokyo is different than the sushi in the U.S. in that it's really all
it's
omakase.
Made of fish.
It's made of fish, not only fish, by the way, but made of omakase. You sit at the bar and you take what the chef gives you, and there's a number of courses, let's say 15 dishes put in front of you, and you eat it without question. And of course, if you were to question it, it might be considered insulting to the honorable chef. As you know, honor is a very important concept in Japanese culture. Mm-hmm. And so the chef would put each dish ahead in front of us. We didn't necessarily know what it was. And I was designated the taster. And I not only had to determine whether I enjoyed it, but I had a guess as to whether each one of you three would enjoy it. And Conan seemed to be the pickiest in the bunch. And furthermore,
tasting for Conan.
The added, fair enough. But I feel like you all looked at me after each bite. The caveat to all of
that's
this.
That's egomania.
Okay. The amount the chef gives you is really the perfect amount. You leave feeling satisfied, but not weighed down. The problem is if I tasted something that I knew that Conan would not like, for fear of offending the chef, I had to eat it. He was sitting directly to my right. So he would pass me, I think, the skate, you know, things like that. And then there was one that I was unsure about and he ate it. He didn't like it. He felt it was a little too chewy. I forgot which one. And I feel like I didn't live that down. He kept on remarking how I gave him some bad advice. But yes, so I ended up eating double for a lot of the dishes.
What?
Well, it's true. We were just in Australia. We didn't really eat at any good restaurants.
We didn't do a great job. Yeah. Well, we part of that was because, I mean, a lot of it is the shooting schedule because, you, as you know, some days are crazy and you're shooting all day and then you get like a, whatever sandwich is sort of shoved in your face and then you end up just eating something on the way home to the hotel.
Yeah. But, and then we have to get up early the next day and it's late and we just kind of
we could probably do a better job of looking into.
Yes, well, we could.
In fact,
could.
I think it's ridiculous that I had the success I had in being able to go to these restaurants. I can't believe, given the crazy schedule we had, and especially in Italy, that we took time, serious time, to set aside for these grandiose dinners that we had.
Well,
I don't know how I got away with
because
that.
Because the whole premise of the Italy show
sure.
was
eating.
Yeah, sure. It was a lot of eating and you kind of taking Conan to some spots that
eating and
were
drinking.
Special to you. Yeah.
Right. So that was kind of the theme.
Yeah.
Which was not the theme in Australia.
It was not. But
you
did.
Were in.
You came up because,
yes.
Yeah, we were just talking to
you
Tlemi.
Had a cameo in the Australia show. I don't know if you knew
we
that.
We had these cardboard cutouts of you and we weren't sure. We had a lot of ideas for how they might be used.
Right.
We thought maybe they would be demolished by ants out in the wilderness.
Or fed to a great white shark.
Or fed to a great white, covered in chum and fed to a shark.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those were problematic from a PETA standpoint, I think. But we ended up, we had these, we would lunch
them all around. They weren't problematic in that they showed a violent depiction of my death. That was fine. They were problematic in that they might make the great white shark sick.
Yes.
That's what Jesse
that's
just
correct.
Said.
Right.
Yes.
I'm just clarifying that I'm understanding it correctly.
But so we did lug these. We had three cardboard cutouts of you that were in the back of the van for most of the trip. And then finally we did this live show and Conan brought one up on stage to give out to an audience member and a woman who was, I mean, I think she was pretty drunk, but
she was very
enthusiastic about getting your cardboard cutout and ended up making out with it on stage.
Mm. Yes.
In front of the whole crowd.
Of people.
Yeah. So you do have some fans in Australia if you ever decide to go.
Thank you for that. You expected the cutout to suffer a gruesome death. Instead, the cutout got to make out with
was
an intoxicated
by
Australian woman.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And the cutout wasn't very forthcoming, which I think it made it more real for her.
Yeah.
That she was really with you.
We don't know that she knew it was a cutout.
One last thing I've got to ask you. I forgot. Quickly, speaking of Australia, fans love to know what you do. And
on the show, yeah.
On the show.
Day-to-day job.
And here's an email I printed out.
Okay.
You deal with standards.
Correct.
And
the email better not be in the subject line. Okay, good.
Why did you print this email on hold paper?
Why not?
That's aesthetically displeasing.
Oh
no. That's not. The printer has many paper trays.
No,
we have nice.
Our third floor printers all have this paper.
Because you typically put things in binders?
Because of the script it gets printed on these.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's all three hole.
I'm happy to
read
off this.
Second floor, no holes.
I don't ever care about the script. So.
I'm going to acknowledge that this is aesthetically displeasing. There are three holes, some of them through the print the page. And I just don't see the justification for it.
I wish I'd filled them in.
That's
sorry.
Fine.
They're not
yes,
obscuring
I know this
any
email
of the
well.
Words.
I know this email well. I sent it to you. What can I answer about this email?
Well, so you just send these emails listing all the words that have to be obliterated. And is this a record for the word fuck on a show? This is like, how many of them?
I don't know that anyone 20? Keeps those statistics, but this is a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, that should tell you more than it tells me. How do you feel about the fact that, you know, you produced this show, this particular episode, you directed this particular episode, you are at the helm of this particular episode. And what have you turned
out? These are all aspersions.
What have you turned out is the possible record for the amount of profanity used ever.
I'm proud of
in
that.
25 years on one of our TV programs.
I'm really proud. This is fantastic.
Does that
work.
Thought cross it's your mind when you see this?
Progress.
Or are you
not
only looking
not
at the
at
task
all.
At hand?
Not at all.
You're not
all.
Questioning, is the show devolving into something dirtier than it needs to be? Is it gratuitous at this point?
No, actually, because these are all about Aussie slang.
Mm-hmm.
And Conan was learning
a lot of them
slang.
Were. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
well, what are the words that need to be bleeped officially?
Yes.
Well, there are some that are obvious.
Right.
Certainly, yeah. Right. But what interests me...
What are they?
The ones that
people
are obvious.
People want to know.
Well, you know, I don't like to use gratuitous profanity, but there are certainly some harsh words in the English language
the
and
F-word?
Others. Yeah, the F word is obvious.
Okay.
But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to diverge for a second and tell you that Matt O'Brien, the head writer of the show, right. one time asked me if I could fight... and negotiate to be able to keep the F word in a show. I told him what I thought was obvious. At the end of the show, I said, okay, such and such needs to be bleeped, and it was the F word. And he said, can we go back and fight for it?
Yeah.
He legitimately thought that we might be able to say the F word on TV. We have a TV 14 rating. He clearly, because we've made strides, I mean, back in the 90s, you couldn't say shit. And now you can say it a certain number of times because
great.
He got cocky.
But we only get a certain number of shits, which is strange. So you actually get
What's
to cherry
our shit
pick.
Quota?
How many?
Well, you see, you can focus on the micro and you can focus on the macro. So the
You don't know the answer.
So
What's
what
the
I'm
answer?
Telling you, what I'm telling you is the macro. You're looking at the whole show and you're saying, what kind of show is this? Each moment in the show adds up to produce a whole, which is greater than the sum of its parts. Now I have a piece of paper that has probably 25 words that need to be bleeped. So when I look at the macro version of the show, what kind of show is this? It's a profane show. So, yeah, shit. If you say it once, it still could be a sophisticated show where someone said shit. And that punctuation has such effect because the rest of the show is so otherwise demure. Now you're looking at a show that has 25 pieces of profanity. Now the entire show has become a profane show. So it makes sense to me that the rules imposed on us are that we can only say a certain amount of shits because once it gets to a threshold, to answer your question, the threshold is 3.
Okay.
The show becomes profane.
How did you decide on the shits that could stay and the shits that had to go?
You have to budget. Okay, you have to budget. Now, first of all, you don't want to take a given act and bleep some of them within that act and leave other ones unbleeped. It looks inconsistent.
That would be
detracts
insane.
From the comedy.
So, yeah, all these shits are in the same act.
Yeah,
it looks like.
And this one was valuable to the comedy. This was in Act One, the ones that we kept.
Yeah. Who decides that?
Well, I'm involved in that decision.
Who do you get these bleeping orders from?
Well, the network that broadcasts our show in the United States is TBS. They're located in Atlanta, Georgia. They watch a feed of our show, and they are the ones that give me these notes. Yeah.
All right. Interesting.
And then can you at the bottom it says Dix is okay, Jesus is okay.
Right.
And what context would Jesus not be okay?
Well, there was a time where we could not use that context other than to refer to Jesus Christ, the historical or religious figure. Used as an exclamation, it was never allowed. It was considered to be too offensive. This is back in the 90s. I would say even into the 2000s. It's a relatively new development that it's no longer considered as offensive to the mass population, though, of course, some people would still be offended by it. Another concept that has a similar arc is the middle finger. You never used to be able to show a middle finger without it being blurred. Now the middle finger is fine to show.
We also had a middle finger on our Australia show.
That's true. We really covered all the bases.
The most profane show that has ever been aired.
I'm surprised there wasn't full frontal nudity. That'll be the next travel show.
And Dix is the same situation as well. It used to never be allowed. Again, back when we started. And now it generally is allowed, other than when it's used in an overtly sexual context. Context is always taken into account.
It's sort of the opposite of Jesus, where if you're calling someone a dick, that's fine. But if you're referring to a literal dick, that's not okay.
That is a very valid observation.
Thank you, Jordan.
Thanks, Jordan.
My pleasure. Thank you.
He's gone.
Oh, thank God. I'm moist under my armpits. It's very stressful for me when Jordan's here.
Oh, you too?
Yes.
Okay. I
just don't know where, I don't know where things are going. It feels out of control.
I never think it's going to be a big deal. And then
it's always worse.
I was like,
I think
it's the third time doing Jordan. It'll be a piece of cake. And then before I know it, I'm like, wait, I'm on my phone looking up emails and
trying to defend.
Oh my God.
Your management style. Yeah. I mean, we've mentioned it, but we're in the process of figuring out where we're going to go next with Conan Without Borders.
We thought we'd throw it out to you, the listeners, for some suggestions of places to go.
Yeah, you guys call us and tell us where to go next.
Yes.
Or where not to go next.
Yes, or where not to go. That helps as well.
And the number is 323-209-5303. You can email us at insideconanpod@gmail.com.
Yeah, but that was fun. It was great talking to Jason. Great talking to Jordan. And again, watch the Conan in Australia show.
Watch the Australia show. Let us know what you think. It's Tell us if we were offending you with all our profanity.
Oh, it's all bleeped. And check out the entire show. It's on teamcoco.com/Australia.
Australia. Yeah, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
Talk to you next week.
We like you.
When the weather app says rain, the McDonald's app says McDelivery. Order McDelivery in the McDonald's app.
At participating McDonald's, delivery prices may be higher than at restaurants. Delivery and other fees may apply.